Intervju Radija Študent.
Danes v RŠ intervjuju gostimo nemškega elektrončkarja Bernta Friedmana alias Bernta Friedmana, ki danes skupaj z legendarnim tokalcem Jakijem Leibzeitom zaključuje letošnji festival Pomladi. Dvojec je na festivalu nastopil že pred dvema letoma in takrat svojo kombinacijo Leibzeitovih najstandardnih ritmov in Friedmanovega mojsterskega dabovskega rokovanja očara občinstvo, ki je koncert uvrstilo med najzanimivejše v tistem letu. Bernd ustvarjalno sledi svojim izdelanim idejam in nekaj teh nam je zaupal tudi v pogovoru.
So you're back in Ljubljana after about 2 years. You played here in Festival Pomladi back then. And I remember people were quite excited about that gig. They said it was one of the better concerts that year. So do you have any specific memories about that concert?
Yes, I was listening to the recording myself, but I noticed a lot of crowd noise. Mm-hmm. So I had the feeling that it wasn't very well responded.
Oh, it wasn't?
So I'm quite surprised about this reaction, because it didn't feel like that on the stage.
So you people were quiet places?
No.
Or people just focus on what's going on the stage?
No, I prefer people to walk around and dance. Mm-hmm.
Because I noticed you were smiling at the time and I didn't know why. Maybe it was the response or was
the response was enormous, yeah, the mm-hmm. applause. But judging from a recording, it's never the same.
Mm-hmm. That's true. So, you know, it's been about 2 years. What have you been up to since then? You obviously still work with Jaki.
Yeah, we've been recording more and playing more concerts and developing more rhythms.
In a similar way.
I've been moving to Berlin, so my situation, the circumstances, how we make music have changed a little bit in the meantime mm-hmm. because of the distance. Mm-hmm. We used to live in one house, but now I'm 5 hours away from Cologne, mm-hmm. so it's not so easy to mm-hmm. hook up and rehearse.
And what was it that made you move to Berlin? Because before you were in Köln all the time? Mm-hmm. Or, so what was the reason you moved to Berlin?
Mm, yeah, lots of reasons. I mean,
music being one of them probably.
Mostly my friends and business partners have also moved to Berlin. And I'm an old Berliner anyway, because mm-hmm. my mother came from Berlin and I've been there once a year at least.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so in the meantime, this year I think it was also the 10th anniversary of your record label Nonplace. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a bit about that? How did that happen? Was there some special gig? Or?
At first I wanted to do something in the 11th year, because I'm born 11th of November, which mm-hmm. is 11-11, and my favorite rhythm is also 11. Mm-hmm. But maybe this is difficult to comprehend, so I decided to release a compilation record with exclusive pieces. Mm-hmm. But I haven't done any event. For an event, I would need to present few more live projects, but actually the label only contains to do 2 bands who are able to play live. Mm-hmm. This is a small label, mostly mm-hmm. run by myself, and I have my hands in all of the productions.
Mm-hmm. And how did this label thing turned out? Was it a long-term project when you started it? Are you happy with how it developed? You mostly release your own music on it, or some other bands as well?
Yeah, all the productions take more time, simply because the level is getting higher and higher. I try to give my best, and there's not much time to produce foreign musicians or other friends, maybe. Even though I like a lot of music that I get sent, but I'm not able to, I don't have the capacity to release more than 2 productions per year, otherwise mm-hmm. the quality would suffer.
Right. So you get sent demos?
Yeah. Funnily enough, last week I almost got 1 demo per day, mm-hmm. which is quite a lot.
Yeah. Do you have time to listen to all this stuff?
Yeah, I do listen to it. sometimes briefly, but
when I like it, I do respond to the CDs. But it never happened that I release one of the demos I got sent.
Mm-hmm. Maybe in the future.
I don't think so, because I can't take the responsibility for someone that I don't know well. I have too much to do, and it's enough hassle for me to release my own stuff or the collaborations.
Mm-hmm. You certainly know well Uwe Schmidt. Do you do some work with Flanger? Is it Flanger or Flanger?
Flanger.
Mm-hmm. Do you still do any work with him? There were a few tracks released on this anniversary album.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have started again.
Mm-hmm. Almost finished then. Two-track.
Jakin Wine as well?
No.
Just the two of you. Mm-hmm. Did you hear maybe his Litgut album that came out on Rasternoton?
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of it?
It's not for me. I don't like it so much, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Any particular reason? It just doesn't feel right? Or
well, if I... It's much easier to tell you about the music that I like than mm-hmm. the music that I don't like, because it's simply too much to be critical about.
So maybe you can tell us about the music you like at the moment. Did you hear any particular album you really enjoyed lately?
Yeah, I enjoyed the most recent John Hassell production on ECM Records.
Mm-hmm. I didn't hear it, but is it much in his old style, more ambient sort of?
Yeah, it's quite close to his earlier productions, his drummers and his harmonized trumpet voice.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's much closer to the early 80s, 70s productions. But above all, I do enjoy listening to music from all parts of the world, like Thailand,
Sumatra, or
mm-hmm. Gamelan music.
No, not Gamelan music, pop music actually. Mm-hmm. Electrified pop music.
Maybe stuff that was put on Sublime Frequencies, and they follow that series.
Yeah,
it's really nice.
A lot of the music comes from Sublime Frequencies. Maybe
most of the records that I listen to are from that label at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a really nice content series.
Yeah.
I know you like lots of world music in a way as well, African music specifically. Mm-hmm. I know you mentioned once Mulatu Astatke. And today Mahmoud Ahmed is playing in Križanke here as well. Did you know about this maybe? He's also Ethiopian, quite similar to Mulatu Astatke.
He's playing tonight in
mm-hmm.
where exactly?
Križanke. It's about maybe 5 or 10 minutes with the car from here. So maybe if you have time.
Well,
that's truly shocking, because one of my favorite ever, all-time favorites are from him.
From Mahmoud?
Yeah.
Did you see him live yet?
No, not at all.
So this is quite a nice opportunity.
Yeah, but we don't have the time
tonight.
Mm-hmm. So
to do this extra.
We were talking about music you like at the moment, so you know, how do you follow all this music, because there's this hyper-production nowadays, it's difficult to...
Hyper-production?
I mean, there's so much music being put out, it's hard, difficult to follow everything, so how do you decide what you're going to listen to?
I don't decide. I depend on friends and on random influences.
Mm-hmm. Because I remember reading that you're not too fond of MP3s, so I reckon you listen to all your music on CDs or records.
No, I do check out links on the internet. Mm-hmm. Check out any sound source, but only just to get an impression of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Just mostly, I don't listen so carefully to it, but just check out what's happening at the moment. Mm-hmm. But it's only a little part, of course, that I'm able to consume. And I don't mind not listening to any music. So maybe there's months that I spend on my own stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Just to
mm-hmm. when we get your own stuff, can you tell us what's the sort of secret? How do you keep yourself interested in doing this? But rigid aesthetics with Jaki Liebezeit in their own music, you know, because the trend nowadays is that bands just put out an album and they rush to another album and just try different stuff out. You, on the other hand, seem to stick with a certain idea and develop that over a longer period of time.
Yeah, I can't see an end point. To me, that's still open windows that I've touched in the past, and to me it's an exit route from the American concepts of music. So with what I follow, I'm sure I will include more self-built instruments in the future and get back to my rubber band guitar that I used in the early 80s to record.
You were building your own instruments at that time as well?
Yeah, it was... I wouldn't want to call it instrument because it was totally out of tune, but like Jaki's drums, they are completely rebuilt. Not the set that he's traveling with, but lots of the drums he's playing. And with new instruments you can also invent or play new music, but with the instruments provided by these notorious companies with American concept in the background, you will only have the prefabricated ideas in your own music. This also applies in lots of software that is around. Mm-hmm. Everything musicians can do with it is inherent to the software's possibilities. So there's nothing possible apart from what was conceived by the creator of the software.
When we're talking about this software, and I talked to some electronic producers, you in your music try to delete this line between acoustic and electronic sounds. So, there's this opinion among many electronic producers that you can recreate everything a human drummer could do. You could recreate everything electronically, being with a rhythm machine or something else. Do you find this? I mean, you work with Jaki, there must be a reason for it. So you probably think a human drummer can add much more to music than a drum machine.
Well, we shouldn't confuse studio work, studio recordings, and live music. If it comes to records, I have a totally different approach, because what is on a record is a result of long process studio work. So not much spontaneity might be included in finalizing this process. So I was in the past playing around with the effects of simulation, so that people may not be able to distinguish between what was played and what was programmed. And the idea was to make people aware of the fact that it doesn't matter at all, because it's an artificial sound sculpture anyway, totally deprived of any humanity. It's something completely artificial to music. It's not natural, because music doesn't belong to any medium. It's transported by the air, and it doesn't belong to records. It doesn't belong to MP3s, it doesn't belong to vinyl, and of course not to the CD. It's completely unnatural to have the ability to recall, restore, and play back music. But I just use those possibilities and create hyper real music with it, simply because I just use all the possibilities, no matter whether someone had played it or whether it's programmed, it's simply the results matter. But when it comes to live music, we have different concepts because music is only for the moment. So immediate response, intuition and skills matter a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And communication between the musicians. So as Yaki always puts it, it's like a football game where you have set rules, but you still need to improvise a lot and you have to keep the ball going. So, and people enjoy watching football because there are so many risks involved.
Mm-hmm.
And anything could happen within those rules. So it's an interesting process to follow for the audience. But when everything is pre-programmed, of course, there is nothing to discover.
Mm-hmm.
The process is already pre-arranged.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us about a bit this process in the studio, especially? We saw what you do live on stage, but in the studio, is Jak involved in a similar way? Or do you then modify his drumming? And
now this time we went into somebody else's studio with professional equipment to record the drums properly. This is what we did after the concert, directly after the concert.
Mm-hmm.
So I have had my sequences from the computer mixing them and Yaki was playing the drums to it as if we play live.
Mm-hmm.
But with the recording I will then completely or maybe not edit everything, rearrange and overdub.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea is always to come as close to a live recording.
Mm-hmm.
With this project.
Right, so this is about to come out or is it out yet?
No, project? It's recorded but it's not finished.
Mm-hmm. But it's going to be out as an album?
Or? This year,
mm-hmm.
I hopefully suppose.
Yes, so you said you live and work in Berlin nowadays, so there's quite many musicians there you know, who combine drums and electronics, like Moritz von Oswald Trio. He went back to acoustic instrumentation. He actually played here a few months ago. It was excellent, with Vladislav Delay on drums. And Vladislav Delay also put out some formation, and he also plays drums there. So there's other people. Last year in Festival Pomladi there was Jan Jelinek with group show, also Hanno Leichtman on drums.
Mm-hmm.
And there's other people. You know, how do you see this trend? Why so many of these bands emerged in these past years?
To me it's not a trend. I mean, I think it's quite common, but it involves a lot more consideration because usually it first exists, at first some electronic results exist in the studio and the problem is how to develop this for a live band, whereas it's much easier to play within a group of people in the very beginning. But this is not how electronic composers work. They usually start alone in the studio to work something out. This is probably why we haven't seen so many live bands incorporating electronic music. But to me, it's the electronic input with these bands doesn't really matter because I've always considered this a common tool amongst guitar and so forth, all other kinds of instruments.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's simply live music with a black box that is not so easy to comprehend than the playing of other more visible instruments.
Mm-hmm.
And the computer, to me, is not an instrument at all, it's a playback machine.
Right.
Or a sound generator, but not a musical instrument.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really see a trend. The trend rather is to...
I meant, with the trend I meant that people who used to do electronic music, you know, like Moritz and Vladislav, also some other people, they are now going back to acoustic instrumentation.
Yeah, otherwise there's no point in playing live because
mm-hmm.
if you enter a stage, then it's everything about performance. And of course, one can enter the stage with a computer, but it's then, as a result, you have a poor performance.
Right.
And this can't be the goal of an artist. So he has to consider to make a unique, extraordinary performance.
To me, a band that really works in a live context, that combines drummer and electronic musician, are Kieran Hebden and Steve Reed. Mm. Do you know them?
Yeah, I haven't seen them live together.
What do you think of their music?
I don't know. I haven't been listening closely. I've only I used to know his solo work, but not the
Kieran
version.
Hebden's.
Or?
Yeah, you have worked in with dub music for a long time now, so you probably have a good insight into the work of these Jamaican dub producers. So I'm interested, dubstep is really popular this past year. Do you think that they captured these original ideas by Jamaican producers, well, dubstep producers?
No, I don't think so. I don't see any reggae roots in dubstep, but the problem is dubstep is a new definition that sums up lots of individuals who simply develop program music much further than other dance producers that stick with house or techno music. So dubstep people, as far as I'm concerned, are like in the 90s what was summed up by drum and bass, and more educated followers have realized that this is the interesting music at the times, even though it was reduced to the term drum and bass. But the progress has always been taking place, and now we have another sticker for it, which doesn't make sense. So I can't really hear so much dub in there, but rather drum and bass,
right,
and all kinds of rhythms, which is really enjoyable, because it's slowly developing more interesting dance music.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think of progression of electronic dance music in the past years? Do you follow any of this? Probably you do some. Can it be generalized how the trends are going nowadays?
Well, house music has definitely completely established, and there are also slight changes and a few producers who are taking more risks, but there's lots of mainstream too. Can't be generalized. I wouldn't contest house music in general. But to me, I have no interest in listening to the same rhythm over and over again. This is why Jackie and me try to open up the muscles to. Yeah, I mean, we consider all musics equal. So 4, 5, 6, 7 and so forth are all equal rhythms. Then we try to exercise and be fit to play all kinds of rhythms. But a different rhythm is like a step into another universe.
Right. So, maybe a few more questions because we're short on time.
Yeah.
One of the people you also worked with in the past was David Sylvian. Did you maybe hear his new record, Monophone? He worked with improvisation musicians. What did you think of it?
Well, I think that's... it's quite courageous to release a record like this with his own voice is mixed so much into the foreground and is completely naked, deprived of harmony. But I thought his singing could always stand alone. Mm-hmm. So I wonder why there are still musicians involved.
And you don't have the answer to this. You don't have the answer to this.
Why he's going this way?
Yeah, I mean, why there are so many musicians involved in this new album? Or
not too many. I mean, it's only 3-4 musicians per track.
Yeah, per track, but
the reason is because he's been recording it on different locations around the world, like 3-4 different cities where he changed the whole crew of musicians.
So now that you live in Berlin, you probably get many opportunities to work with some other musicians, is that so? Are you interested in this?
No, Cologne has actually the highest density of musicians in one district because of the music academy. In total, there might be more musicians living in Berlin, but where I used to live, the quantity of musicians is amazing. But today, I would like to develop more on my own, simply because I can't represent the music live. If there's too many musicians involved, I have a problem to invite them to go on tour. It's not feasible at all. So I'm trying to just keep it as simple as possible.
Mm-hmm. So maybe one last question. What can we expect tonight? I mean, the people who attended your gig 2 years ago, will we hear something different or new?
They will. I mean, the music, the tracks we play always differ from show to show. Sometimes we don't recognize them ourselves on stage, depending on the room, the reverb and the overall PA sound quality. So the impression will be completely different from the last show in Ljubljana. But we also have new pieces in the program.
Nice. So do you prefer playing in these smaller venues, like 2 years ago it was in Mensa? Or do you prefer this a bit bigger halls? Do you think that it's easier to make a nice atmosphere in a smaller place?
Yeah, it's always easier to make a nice atmosphere in a smaller place. But when the sound system is shitty in a small place, then there's more trouble. To us, it always depends how we can hear the music on stage. If we don't listen, we can't really play well. So that's our main concern.
You didn't have the time to check the sound system yet.
No, but it looks confident. I'm confident that it's sounding good.
Okay. So this is it. Thank you for the interview.
Thank you too.
Thank you.
Poslušali ste pogovor z Berntom Friedmanom, ki danes ob 21. uri skupaj z Jankijem Leibzeitom nastopi na zaključku letošnjega festivala Pomladi. Z njim se je pogovarjal Goran Kompoš.
Intervju Radija Študent.